snack. Welcome back to another episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast. My name is Zach Working here in the garage with my best friend,
Chad Higgins.
Talking about boots today.
With the fur.
The boots with the fur, the brush with the con. Chad Higgins, you got scammed recently.
It's the weirdest scam.
You got scammed.
Ever.
It's the most like millennial scam of all time.
And technically, Youth Ministry Booster got
we
scammed.
Got scammed. Thank you very much for that.
So. Let's hold on before we get into the scam.
Explain the scam.
Well, oh, no, okay. Let's back up.
Back up
to why mail is coming to my house.
Oh, okay. A little YMB history lesson, if you will.
I got a bone to pick with you, which we've talked about off air before.
Okay.
But never on air of why I've been getting phone calls for years and years now.
Well, I mean.
So when we first started Youth Ministry Booster, we're setting everything up. You've got to set up a website. We had a shop, all those kind of things that you had to set up. And Zach, along the way, did me wrong. Okay? Did me wrong.
I absorb.
And filling out things online and setting up a shop online, I guess there was some form that you had to fill out that you needed address and phone number.
You have to assign like real life. Now, this is where a lot of folks would set up a P.O. box. So we probably should have set up.
We were bootstrapping.
It was a home address, cell phone situation.
Yeah.
Probably should have bought a P.O. box and a burner phone. To be fair.
Zach put my address and my phone number on
Zach
it.
Zach did the work. Chad took the credit.
Oh, get out of here. No, because you put your name on everything. Because I get numbers from people that like recreate websites and stuff like that.
Love letters, fan mail.
There's
fan
some
mail,
random
fan
dude mail. In India
yep, yep.
who calls me once
about
a month,
your server service.
And it's always like, hello, is this Zach?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope.
Well, now you know.
There you go. And so,
what a great way to screen calls. Yeah.
Anyways, in the midst of that, somewhere floating out on the interweb is my address and phone number.
I am concerned that it's your new address because when we set this all up, it was your old address. And so that's a little bit weird.
Well,
I don't know if it's like a forwarding
updating.
Thing. It's probably
sure it's forwarding.
Yeah.
So anyways, I get a package that's delivered to my house.
An Amazon package? No? Oh.
Typically the
scam goes that it's an Amazon package.
I think it was from – it wasn't your normal like Amazon nice box.
Not the brown box. Okay.
But I think it was that like
– The bag.
Yeah. Gray. Okay. It was the like cheapest way you could ever send something.
Okay.
But it was like oddly shaped.
Okay.
We get some packages at my house. I have a 4-year-old wife who likes the
Amazon
wife
likes shop. The online shop, a daughter who likes things. Yeah.
So I find this package on my doorstep. I open it.
Yeah.
And it is these very ugly, fake, like tan boots.
Putting the UGG and ugly. Yeah.
They're like knockoff UGGs.
Yeah.
The weird thing is
potentially for your wife or daughter to wear, wife or daughter sizes?
They're obvious. No, that was the weird thing. So like, it was like, immediately I pulled boots out of a bag, which you're like, what?
Which is the perfect way to ship shoes.
There was no tag.
Oh, okay.
There was nothing.
Unmarked boots.
Unmarked boots.
Great company name for boot company.
But they were dressed not to me, but to Youth Ministry Booster.
Bootster.
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 And
putting the boots.
I was
booster.
Like, what is this? So immediately I go to Martha and I'm like, are these your boots? Why are they so small?
Yeah.
Like they don't fit Malia.
Yeah. Not for you, clearly.
And so then it was like Booster. So normally when I see Booster and weird mail packages, because sometimes you'll send me like
stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh, here are our new set of stickers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is is he buying boots?
Custom boots. Like, custom boots.
These are like our new thing.
Promo items. Yeah. Hey, new members. It's winter season again, and we would hate for your feet to get wet while you're out there sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
So we were going to send you some fuzzy boots.
Some gross looking boots.
They're not great.
They're a bad size. Like,
It's a bad size.
There are people with this.
Yes.
But it looks like
an adult women size 4.
Maybe smaller than.
Oh.
It's like why does that woman have hooves?
Or why is that child so big footed?
No, he would just have big ankles. The ankles were almost as wide as the So I call you
Young Sasquatch,
and I'm like, yeah. So my thought was, well, maybe Karen has weird.
She's a petite person. Maybe she's got 20 feet. Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, maybe it got shipped to our place. And
supposed to be. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so now I'm thinking.
Buying your wife boots on your business account.
Yeah.
Is a weird move.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
And
yeah.
So I call you.
I'm saving on taxes.
I'm like, did you guys buy these boots and they got shipped to my house? And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So then I hear the like funny like, hey, Karen, did you buy these boots? And she's like, no.
No, I also did not buy boots.
So then it's like, where did the boots come from?
Yeah, the great mystery.
And we eventually found out there's a scamming process called brushing.
So it's called brushing. It may have happened to you or a loved one near you, and you may not have even known it. Sometimes people will send purchases to a scam list. So we're assuming that part of the reason Chad got all the server phone calls or whatever, I did not sign up for the extra $20 a year to protect your who is list on your website ownership, or a lot of
put my phone number
where people will scrape your information and they will utilize it for other means. It's why people often get spam mail. But the next level spam mail thing is to make verified Amazon purchases, but it won't verify the purchase until the item is sent. So a lot of folks will inflate. I think there's some level to it where they like will like cancel it. So like the money is in exchange, but because the tracking code went out, typically it's done with smaller items that are like brush weight heavy. And so it's called brushing. So Chad, you've been brushed.
So basically what they do is they fake buy a product with the name of someone out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
Chad Gus Chiggins.
It's probably normally the company that makes the product.
They're trying to boost the sales, to pump the sales by having reviews. Reviews matter to people.
They buy the product, they send the product out, which allows them to give a 5-star review on the product.
A verified 5-star review.
Which makes sense. It's why you see so much stuff on Amazon that's like 20,000 reviews, five stars, and you're like,
really?
A piece of trash thing that you would never buy.
Right. Why does everybody care about hard drives so much?
But to have all of those reviews, you have to have purchases.
Right.
And different names. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
So out there.
Scamming.
If you're trying to buy women boots.
Yeah.
On Amazon right now.
Size 4.
Size 2.5. And you see a 5-star review from Youth Ministry Booster that says, hey, my name's Chad. These boots made me feel lovely, made me feel pretty inside. Know that I did not write that. Okay? Zach did.
It's not true. Oh, wow. We did want to talk a little bit today, though, about not getting scammed. One of the things in our series of greatest ever is some of the greatest ever interview questions to ask. This is something that we often get asked in a roundabout way by folks that are considering a job change or taking on a ministry position for the very first time. Mm-hmm. What do I ask in the interview? I think the first thing that I would say is, if you don't come with questions, you're already in trouble. If you're up to the mercy or beholden to the interview team to ask you the best questions to represent your interest, you're already not thinking through all the levels you need to. So we would say, answer their questions, maybe even ask if they have some before you can prepare if you need more preparation. Mm-hmm. But we would bring questions to an interview. I think it's responsible. I think it's important that when you show up, if you want to have a type list or a thing on your phone, don't just be like, I don't know. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure to ask early. The biggest reason why is it's easier to ask up front than it is to answer for later. A lot of the reasons this podcast started was youth ministers struggle with things related to success, health, and expectations. And many of those are predetermined in the role by the folks that are in charge, leadership roles, teams, deacons, senior pastors. And if you don't know ahead of time, they will try and surprise you, not in a mean way, but they had an idea, you had an idea, and if you don't communicate it early, you may find yourself crossways and something that could have been alleviated or mitigated, made easier, made simpler by simply asking about it before it started and not when it showed up later. So ask really good questions, and we're going to play a little game with it and actually ask y'all, and then we'll answer with each other.
Yeah. So I'll start with a question.
Okay.
And I will say this. This is going to be the first question out of the box.
Okay.
I don't think that this is the most important question.
But you're going with it.
But the reason that I'm asking it, because I think this question needs to be asked even before you're sitting at the table, oftentimes with like a search committee or multiple people on staff there that would be part of the interview question.
Okay.
It's a question that I've heard so many people didn't ask or didn't know until they're further into the process.
And got caught by
and
it.
I don't think it's a fair question not to know.
Okay.
And that is maybe even what we feel like is a sensitive question of what is the compensation for this role look like and what are the benefits?
Okay.
Once again, I lead with that question, not because I think it's the most important question, but I have talked with so many guys that are down the road of having conversations of like fit and things like that.
Yeah.
And then they end up finding out, man, this is a role that would not allow me to support our family.
Okay.
And while I don't think money is a reason to take or not take a job, there is the reality that like, man, there are just certain places that you can't be because you have nine children or whatever.
Right, right.
And that's nothing against them. And it's not to say, well, they don't pay enough to bring it up or whatever, or that you're all about money. I don't think that that's fair either. But there is the reality of the situation of being just good stewards of your family, your finances. Because I think sometimes I've heard of people getting into those situations and then it's like both sides love each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, this seems like the dream spot.
We want it to work.
And then it's this hard deal of you're like, well, I'm actually going to need like twice that.
Yeah.
And not this like selfish way either, because I don't think that sometimes twice that is not this like, well, now I'm rich.
The wrong number.
Right. But it is just like to support a family like that. That's where we're at. Maybe you've got school debt, real things that aren't poor stewards of your money, but it's just the reality.
Well, so the thing that I would say to that is that you need to go in knowing kind of what your budget number is.
Sure.
I think this is part of that family accounting of like, what's the number they could pay you is a number, but reverse engineer it of like, especially if you're going to a new city, do the research. What is the rent in the area? What is the moving cost to try to find a home? If your kid needs to go to a different kind of schooling that's like private or Christian or whatever, like, are there some costs associated with that? Is there ease if you have a spouse of finding your spouse a job too? If you're having to relocate, like, is it take 9 months to find your spouse a job? Therefore, there's 9 months where we're incurring more stuff. Mm-hmm. So you need to have some of your numbers lined out. And I think maybe it's not the first interview of get to know you stuff, but before you get down to like shaking hands and agreeing, like, you need to know what the job will pay before you agree to the job you'll do, especially if there's a negotiation for some kind of like part-time or bivocational role. Like, there needs to be some clear assumptions of like, how much are you paying versus what you're expecting for the amount of workload that you're doing. So again, I think it's having all the numbers, not just like, what's that top line number? Because there's a lot of things in ministry related to expenses, whether that's like, you know, helping cover or match medical expenses or full-time staff benefit or minister's housing allowance. There's a lot of layers to it that the top number may not directly reflect. And I think it's even okay to take that number, say, let me think about it and take it to a trusted friend, pastor, accountant to break that number down. Like, what would the take home pay be based on the number they've quoted? Because that's you don't have to be like, here's the number. Do you like it? Well, let me go home and take it. Like, that's some take home work. Yeah, it needs to happen between the second and third interview, not the last step or whatever. So,
well, I think there's, like you're talking about, some steps in that of like, if we're moving across country, like
that's a number.
Yeah. A number that may feel little or small where you're at, may actually be a really nice number because of the price of living. Like if you're, if you've always done ministry in California or whatever, and price of living in homes out there is
way more than Arkansas or Atoka, Oklahoma.
And you're moving there and you're like, wow, that's a, I'm taking a big pay cut.
Yeah.
You may not be.
Maybe doing better than you thought. Yeah. Same the other way. I mean, that was, I mean, to share a personal story, when Karen and I were finishing up seminary, there was three jobs that we were looking at, one in Oklahoma, one on the East Coast, and one in San Francisco. And the San Francisco church plant was an exciting place to be, but literally the number they offered was a number, it was a substantial number, but it was virtually part-time pay for full-time work given the neighborhood that the ministry was happening in. Yeah. And they admitted it. It was a church plant. They were really eager and excited, and hopefully back then for the person they found, it was the right thing. But for a young couple with coming out of school and married to a high school teacher, like there was just a limited ceiling on what we could do.
And what I would say, and even asking that, like the number's not the yes or no thing, right? Yeah. And I want to be clear on that.
You're not saying yes to the number.
Because I think that there are instances, and I've had instances in my life, where the number, you're like, well, that's less than what I make or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're confident. It's like, no, that's where the Lord wants me.
Yeah.
And so it may be a situation where you look at it and you go, well, I can't do that number. And so it's getting to have a conversation of going, well, what would it look like if I were part-time?
Did this and that. This and that. Mm-hmm.
And they may be open to that. And those are conversations that I think when you're in a position of just wanting the different job, you want to make it happen.
Yeah.
Then oftentimes I think we'll accept things, not just pay, but like answering some of these other questions we may not like the answer to, that we're willing to give and take to, that may put us in a bad position.
If it's a paying job, it's not weird to talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Okay, the question I want to ask.
Yeah.
So money and compensation are real questions. I want to know the history. So
why do you want to know history?
I want to know what I'm walking into, and I want to hear how they tell it. Who's the person that had this job before me? Did they do well? Has this church historically had this emphasis, role, or position? Because if you walk into a student ministry that's been really strong for 50 years, in the last 5 years it hasn't been, there's a lot of pressure to look like the 50 than the five. If you walk into a group that's never had a student ministry before, that paints the reality differently than if they have a lot of preconceived notions of what it should be, or if that person left well. Like, I want to know the history questions. And those are the questions they're probably not going to ask you. Like, what do you know about this place? You're going to have to ask them. And history questions for me are always the questions that you get to ask, and you need to listen for how – and I would have different people tell you the answer. To the point that if there's a team interviewing you, I would ask, would you tell me how you think? Is, you know, get a little bit of clarity across stories, because it may not be the same take between the parent and the senior pastor, if that's the way. And again, that may even be separate conversations where you do, like, you're meeting with an interview team, and if, like, you get close to the thing and there's, like, a executive or senior leader that you meet with, you might want to ask it again to them as well. But history questions.
Here would be one of my next questions.
Okay.
I'm going to stay with my theme for right now of not yet in the room of the panel.
Okay.
It's the question just to the senior pastor over phone.
Okay.
Or if you go have coffee one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a confidential question.
Okay.
They may not know you yet.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to ask. Especially if, like, they've reached out to you, there's maybe a connection between you and leadership or whatever already. And I think you've got to set it up with, hey, confidential here, because I know it's sensitive.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself here for a while?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Where do you see your next phase of leadership going?
Yeah.
Because I've heard so many stories of guys getting hired and then their senior pastor. And I know that they don't know the history,
right? Stuff can change.
The future. But to be able to say, like, because if that senior pastor is already talking to somebody,
if they're already about to bounce,
you,
that weighs in.
It's fair to ask that question, and they may or may not be honest with you. But I think asking that question question of going, hey, like, because hopefully you do, you get the chance to hear from them of going, no, like, I'm planted here.
I'm committed, yeah.
I'm needing a team, you know what I mean? Yeah. Those kind of things that I think help. And so not only asking that of them, but do you expect to see any other turnover on staff?
Yeah.
What might that look like for us? Especially, you know, if you're looking for a lot of youth pastors are maybe moving into that like family ministry role.
Yeah. Yeah.
That may
next
be a
gen thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like me coming, because I've seen this a lot, outside hire for that like family minister role.
Yeah.
You may have that high school pastor that was hoping to get that role
and stuck around.
And when he doesn't get that role, it's good to know like the senior pastor being able to say, hey, like, Joe's been on our team for a while.
Yeah.
We don't think he'd be a great fit for that. We think he's great where he's at.
Yeah.
But there may be some of that
some tension,
there of you stepping into that role. Those are good to know of like just longevity. You know some of the first battles that you're going to have to fight being on the staff new there.
It's also a way of asking about their vision too.
Yep.
I think if, you know, if they are committed, they're probably going to have things like, man, we're excited about you and excited with the excitement you'll bring. And like, you know, sometimes it's a way at getting at some of that, like, what do you see the future by asking them their level of committedness. That's good.
All right. What's the next question you want to ask?
Man, I want to know, what does success in this job look like? I think there's a proficiency question or a success question. Like, if you tell me that my goal is to add 50 families in the next year, like, say it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to provide safe, quality, theologically responsible programming for young people, say it. If it's to connect with our community through schools, teams, outreach, say it. And they're not going to know all of it, but what they do say will be a tell for what they do want. So they may not say specifically what you ought to do this to be successful, but how they talk about it will be really informative.
Can I add something to that question?
Yeah, please.
If they're going to if you're going to ask that question, is I would even take it a step further and ask, is there an evaluation process here at the job?
Evaluating the success.
And then what does that look like and how's that measured?
Okay.
Because the thing that I have experienced is there is what everyone is willing to say is success, and there's something different about what they measure as success.
Okay.
And some
we want to reach the community. Your numbers are down.
Yes.
I see.
I see. You're right, right, right.
Yeah.
And so I think that sometimes asking really great questions in an interview process is a little bit of the detective work.
Okay.
Like, what is not being said as much as what is being said?
100%. Yeah, it's not always the answer you get. It's the how they answer or what they don't say.
Mm-hmm. I always love to ask.
What's the next one?
I always love to ask for specific examples.
Okay, of what? Of all things?
So one of the questions I like to ask is, I would say it like this, hey, we don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I know that if I were to come here, there are going to be things that I mess up and fail in and those kind of things. Can you give me an example of a way that frustrated the people, both on staff or the congregational level, that the last guy did? That's going to allow me to hear specific things that may like get under the skin of the staff.
How they got bothered, how they reacted to things.
May even press in on that, because a lot of times the scenarios that they're going to give are the failures.
Yeah.
And my follow-up question to that was, what was something maybe that they did that wasn't necessarily a failure? Or a lot one that you hear with student ministry is like, well, they weren't very organized.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well, that's a shortcoming, right? That obviously—
growing edge.
But it's like, what is something they did that didn't go over well, that was could be a positive at another church, right?
Yeah.
And so you may hear things like, well, they were— you know, all they talked about was like reaching sports kids or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so they were like, at every game and all the FCAs.
But they didn't care about the students that came with these families.
Right.
And so like those kind of things allow you to see a little bit what people are looking for and wanting. It's
a little bit of a test the water.
But it also allows you to go, oh, I'm kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be
What do you mean? They want me to go on mission trips. I typically just do stuff here locally. Yeah. That was learning in one of the churches I served was we kind of expect the person that's coming in to take our create opportunities for our students to experience God's work well outside of the area in which we're located. Mm-hmm. That was a big piece. And it was one that like we needed to have a plan for pretty quickly. Like it wasn't necessarily the thing. But
it was a big piece.
It would have been a harder season there if we had only done ministry locally.
See, I think that that's one of the big reasons that we need to be thoughtful of the questions that we're asking.
Yeah.
Because
you can look at all the value posters in the hallway that you want to. People will tell you with their words or what they don't say, what they actually value. I mean, posters and statements and they move us towards the kind of vision, the way people talk about it. It's the brand thing, right? Yeah. Like this is what the brand is. Well, what people say about it is actually the brand thing.
I think that we can, I want to be careful how I say this, but I also want to say it.
Okay.
I think sometimes we can think a little bit too highly of ourselves.
Okay.
And feeling like
I could work anywhere.
Well, I could work anywhere. And I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I even think for some of the best youth pastors that we've met,
yeah,
they are wired and geared in ways that if you were to put them in ministries
in a different situation,
they would struggle. And that doesn't mean they're not great youth pastors, but you've got to make sure like there's a fitting process.
Fit, and like fit is a real word.
Yeah, their vision matches how God has created you and wired you and those kind of things. Because I think if it's like, well, I'm just going to go there and I'm going to create ministry how I want to or how I've always done it.
It's going
to
do superstar work. Yeah.
Like maybe. And eventually with enough bodies under the bus, you may get there. But the church that you walk into may not be the same one you're serving in 3 years.
Yeah.
Because it may be a whole new set of people.
Yeah.
And I think there's some wisdom in just being able to go, okay, who are these people? Who's hopefully going to be here long after I'm gone?
Patience is a part of a process, especially in a ministry. And I think we have to say this as well. Student ministry is an innovative edge of the church. It's not always the directive ministry of the church. Mm. The senior leadership is going to define help the vision of the church. I think youth ministry, student ministry can speak into that and test some of the edges of it. If you're going to try to upend or fix the church via student ministry, you're in for a long, like you need to already be bought into a big chunk of what the vision is, or else you're going to be just feeling friction the entire time.
Give me one more.
Okay.
Really unique to Zach Workin. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. What's a question for you that you feel like is not a general, but like, you know, and it makes me some of the ones you've already given, but like that you really need to know.
The like silly one is like, what's the dress code in the office?
Okay.
Cause like that tells me a lot.
Okay.
Like
they're like, Zach Workin, we need you in a polo every day.
Yeah. I mean,
with the logo of our church in
Brooklyn. I worked at a church that we couldn't wear shorts in the summertime. Like there was a lot.
You're just hot, just sweaty knees. Just
sweaty knees. And so we would like go play basketball or disc golf in the afternoons and I'd have a change of clothes.
Braided belt.
It was like short sleeve button down in the morning and it was t-shirt and gym shorts in the afternoon. And
not that there's, I'll say it. We want to make sure not there's anything wrong with that. If that's dress code, that's fine. And that's a little bit of what I'm talking about.
It was only a problem because I didn't ask and I got surprised come June.
Yes.
If I would have asked before, beforehand, I would have been like, cool, I'll buy some lightweight chinos and we'll be fine. But I didn't know. So now I'm mad more at myself for not asking.
Well, and little things like that too, like they paint a bigger picture for you, right? And it helps you, like, we can't be desperate just for a job. I know that life may have you in a spot where you feel desperate for a job, but if you just take the first thing that comes along, you're probably going to be desperate for a job in about 18 months.
And again,
okay, that's good. Any other thoughts?
That's the, like, I mean, I know that sounds silly, but it's kind of funny and playful or whatever. Man, I got asked, like, what my guilty pleasure movie was by the interview panel. So I know we've had some friends that have worked at other large churches that have really funny questions. Yeah, like,
I've heard questions get asked of, like, what's your favorite curse word?
Like what if you dropped a hammer on your toe, what do you say, kind of thing. I think there are some of those character questions. You know, so, like, what do you laugh at? What do you like? What do you know? Like, what's your favorite beverage? Just kind of like teasing things out or whatever. I think the question that's probably, I don't know if this is me, maybe this is your question. Maybe you just have rubbed off on me enough that it just is that way. But, like, how do staff families receive ministry at the church? Like, what does it look like? Is it, you know, everything from, like, is there a certain, like, small group that my spouse can be in, or, like, are kids ministry folks treated differently here, or, you know, is my spouse expected to be a part of the ministry that which I'm being hired for? I mean, again, I don't know if there's Zach specific questions, but I do want to know. Like, I want to know. And again, it's only painful if it's a surprise. Like, if they tell you, like, nah, we actually expect your spouse to be front and center with you the whole time. That's okay. I mean, I don't know if it's, like, ideal, but
it's not ideal for you.
But it's ideal for me. But for somebody else,
that might be for you. But anyways,
Karen's all in. But for some folks, it's not.
It's not. Yeah. And that's my thing, is I think sometimes, and I see this I'll throw them under the bus. I see these all the time on those Facebook groups of youth ministers where it's like, my church is making me do this.
Yeah.
And then everybody piles on and they're like, well, how dare they ask that? Yeah. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Why didn't that dude ask that question at the start?
Right.
Like, those seem like,
my kids shouldn't have to pay for camp. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, maybe they don't budget that way, you know? Yeah. Like,
and so, like, there are those things. It's like, and sometimes it's almost like, you know, should it be expected that I only make this amount of money? And it's like, why are we sussing that out on
Facebook? After the fact. Yeah. Well, also that's again, future episodes of Youth Ministry Booster.
But it's like, I just think that so much of the heartache could be solved in asking really great questions we're getting and being willing to say, like, this isn't going to be a good fit for my family. That's okay. That's nothing against that church. Because the reality is, you know what? There is somebody out there
that would love it.
That doesn't like wearing shorts in the summer.
Yeah.
That they're...
They dress middle class fancy every time.
Who doesn't like Chili's?
Right.
And so, yeah, that fits them well.
Yep.
And you know what's great? The humility to realize that you can be a great youth pastor, but that doesn't mean that you'd be a great youth pastor everywhere. And I think asking those good questions along the way is important.
Well, and if we can be frank, in 2023, there's a lot of churches that are looking, and I think it's a really important time to know thyself well. I think one of the things that we best bring in youth ministry in general, is enough self-awareness that we have space to give to other people. If we're if we're unawares of our own preferences, habits, our family's relationship to the calling and work that we're experiencing, like that kind of non-anxious presence of like, this is how it's kind of for our family. They're involved here, not involved there. This is kind of the budget that we're working with. There's a clarity and a helpfulness there. Because again, churches don't look for staff folks often enough. And so they probably haven't gotten good at it. And so if you can know yourself as well as you can to come before them and say the question that you were talking about of, would I be a good fit here? That's helpful. That's actually responsible and good ministry for them and for you. Even in the earliest parts of your potential hire, yeah. It matters. So
can I give my final one?
Yeah, I want to hear the Chad Higgins question.
I want them to give away the game.
Okay.
And I want to give away the game.
Okay.
Before we leave the table.
Okay.
I think that.
You know, I love a giveaway.
I think that there's so much in those interview things of everybody's playing the game. You're all trying to sniff it all out.
Yeah. Trying to like impress each other or like dance around
it. It's the first date mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My wife, as we started dating, at one point, she looked me square in the eyes, and she was like, is this something, or are we just buddies? That's who my wife is.
Yeah. Right?
And
it's the most romantic thing she could have asked you.
Well, for a guy like me,
it was. Well, because she knew, you know. I meant it when I said it. That's the most romantic thing she could have asked you.
Because I don't like all the.
No, like you felt seen.
Yeah, I'm like,
you're okay. Like, I have a ring right now.
Wait, we can be 100% honest?
Wait, there's no pretense? Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, so anyway, I would.
I'd love to ask, what are you actually looking for in a youth pastor?
Mm.
It's what we're here for.
Yeah.
And I even say, like,
God, if they don't know,
if they
what an answer.
Right.
What an answer if they don't know.
What are you actually looking for in a youth pastor?
Yeah.
And there's hopefully in all the interviews they felt, I know I've tried to do it. I want to give them every reason I can give them not to choose me.
Yeah. Then if they still do.
If they still are dumb enough to hire me.
Yes, we're here. Yeah, yeah.
I want them to, like, I want them to know all the ways that I really suck at this.
I will plan camp, but I will be miserable while I do it.
I will hate it.
Are you in?
It'll be the best plan camp ever for your kids.
I might not even go.
I'll be there.
I'll plan camp. Do I have to be at camp? Let's go ahead and clarify.
What if I build a great team to be at camp?
Same difference. My guy.
So I would much rather not be hired than to be hired and be in a bad spot. It just stinks, dude. It stinks so bad. And so trying to give away the game, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
Hey, here's exactly what I think would be a good fit for me. Does that line up with senior pastor, your vision, what you think the people in congregation are needing, those kind of deals? And then being able to say, hey, if I'm not the guy, I know some really good dudes.
That's great.
Because I don't want to be so hubris to believe that, like,
I can make it work.
Because,
that is short-term thinking for what would hopefully be one of the things we've shared earlier, a long-term play.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully you've asked those questions and been in a place to where you're not having to answer questions 2 years from now. Hopefully you've asked good enough questions that you only have to do it once or twice.
Yeah.
Snap.
Hey, Thanks for listening to another episode of the Youth Ministry Booster podcast. We just wanted to say that it's almost time that year again to sign up for Youth Ministry Booster membership. It's season 5. It's happening this summer. You can get signed up to be a part of a growing network of healthy youth ministers, or at least the ones that are trying to get healthy, in the ways in which we collaborate, talk about hard ideas, process new things, and ultimately care for one another. Nobody else understands youth ministry better than other youth ministers. So check out youthministrybooster.com, where you can join a growing group of youth ministers that care about you today.